You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. A needed economic boost from the state or corporate cronyism at its worst? That is the debate over a business tax incentive program called Good Jobs for Michigan. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes is here with us to dig into the debate, which you wrote about this week, Daniel. So start with the what. Just what is the Good Jobs for Michigan program?
It's a state incentive program that rewards companies, or in fact allows companies, I should say, to capture a portion, in most cases, a portion of the state income tax paid by new hires in a business. So if you're already employing 100 people in a city of Detroit, let's say, and you want to expand your business, or you have a large ticket that you want to bring, the additional jobs that are created as part of that are the ones that where the income tax can be diverted, not the existing jobs. So in a lot of cases, the theory goes that this should be a net gain, that these are new jobs that wouldn't otherwise be created. Now, one of the huge debates, of course, is businesses in many cases are already going to make those decisions and that the incentives are just gravy. Now, the question it becomes is how true is that or how not true it is?
Yeah. You know, as I kind of looked at the Good Jobs for Michigan website, and I do see they have to be, you know, a fairly large number of jobs, and also they have to pay pretty good, like at least 100% or more of the regional average wage.
That's right, and it really depends upon what bracket you're in. Your project would be in determines how much you could capture of those income taxes and how much would then accrue to the state. I think one of the arguments here, and people get really, really intense about this, is that these businesses, as one person wrote to me, are stealing money from children, school funds. I look at that and I struggle with that a little bit because you could argue that if these projects don't happen, they don't create incremental income tax revenue, so there's none. Anything that you have that is in addition to that can be beneficial, and that money, portion of that money can go into public coffers. A portion of it is captured by the business that's investing. But there are a lot of people that look at this and think this is crony capitalism. They look at people like Dan Gilbert, the Illiches, who I think are in two different camps, by the way, in terms of how they've approached incentives, and auto companies that are investing. Ford Motor Company buys the Michigan Central Depot. I remember when Bill Ford told me that they were going to do this, one of the first things out of his mouth is, and we will seek incentives. So, I mean, this is kind of part of the lexicon right now. And the question is whether they're going to renew this or allow it to lapse.
When does it expire?
I'm not sure,
but
to be honest with you.
There is a sunset clause, yeah.
Yes, and it is active right now. I believe the Senate has passed it, and it's over in the House.
Okay.
In terms of where it stands at this point.
As you say, you've been hearing from people since your piece came out earlier this week. And, you know, you got to note that under Governor Snyder, there was a huge shift of the tax burden from corporations onto individuals. I mean, we saw corporate taxes dropping by $1.2 billion. That was like more than 57%. Personal individual tax revenues went up by $2.5 billion in the same time. I think a lot of people feel that business got enough love from Lansing.
Yeah, and that's a debate. And the other debate is whether or not what we're seeing happen in places like Detroit or in the state of Michigan is real and sustainable. Or is it all a big fraud? I've had people suggest to me that this is all just a fraud, that what's happening in Detroit is not real, it's not sustainable, that the investment you're seeing there is something that could disappear like it did in the 90s. I don't happen to agree with that analysis. I think that the city of Detroit is in a much different place after its bankruptcy, after billions and billions of private investment that have gone into the city, and not just from Dan Gilbert, and not just from the Illiches.
Well, in fact, let's jump right here, because you said there's a difference in their approach. And people see the headlines about what has not happened around Little Caesars Arena, that promised District Detroit that the Illiches said there will be housing and retail, and what we see are parking lots. And, you know, they own a lot of property.
You're absolutely right. And I wrote a piece about this whole thing a few months back. In fact, I went and looked at it when I wrote this column for Tuesday. Is the Illiches have created a lot of problems for a lot of other investors, including Gilbert, including GM, including Ford, including FCA. And the list goes on and on and on, because they didn't do what they said they were going to do. And they certainly didn't do it in the time frame that people expected them to do it. Now, if they say, well, we'll do it farther down the road, and that's not going to cut it with a lot of people. But as a result, there's a lot of skepticism. And people, I think, are right to be skeptical when they look at what the Illiches did or did not do. And then they question whether, well, was Gilbert going to deliver? Is FCA going to deliver? Is Ford going to deliver? I personally think that the business culture of the leaders today in Detroit is much more about do what you say you're going to do. And I think if you put the Illiches aside, in general, you're seeing more of that. I mean, the projects with Ford are moving ahead. FCA is moving ahead. The Gilbert project, the big one on the Hudson's Block, a little slow, no question about it. But Dan has had a bit of a detour that he's had to deal with, and his whole organization has had to deal with. That is kind of TBD at this point in terms of the pace in which it's going. But I acknowledge the skepticism. I can understand why people need to be skeptical. But we are at a time right now that we haven't seen in Detroit in at least 50 years. In terms of investment and people moving into the city in various parts of the city, it's been a positive. I mean, I think that's one of the things that makes this more enduring is if you have people that are actually living in the downtown area where, you know, 10 years ago you didn't. You didn't have nearly as many, I should say.
So how do we distinguish between tax incentives for business that do what they're supposed to do and hold corporations to account if they don't fulfill their promises, and the ones that seem to just offer businesses tax breaks without getting the public any benefits?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. You know, one of the things my colleague Nolan Finley's written a lot about the Illiches and been very, very hard-nosed about it. And he's talked to the mayor about it. And the mayor's approach is, well, it wasn't our administration. We didn't do it. And I think that's a cautionary tale. And I think the legislature, no matter what they do, they need to make sure they have accountability measures put into these things. You don't get the benefit until you make the investment, until you create the jobs. You have to deliver on what you say you're going to deliver in order to get us to support you, to help you make these deals pencil. One of the arguments is that investing in Detroit is still a bit of a reach. Now, it depends upon the business you're talking about. You know, an auto plant is one thing. A retail operation is another. I mean, it really depends upon what you're trying to do, the kind of thing that the Illiches have done, this big mixed-use retail village, whatever the heck it's going to be. That's a whole other kettle of fish. So, but you talk to the Gilbert people, and they will tell you that a lot of the projects in Detroit still don't quite pencil, that it's as expensive to build something like the Hudson's Project in Detroit as it is in Chicago. But labor rates are higher. There's much greater demand. It is not as easy to do as it may have been 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 years ago.
Bottom line, last few seconds, what do you see happening if Good Jobs for Michigan is allowed to lapse? What's at stake?
That's a great question. You know, for the skeptics, I would say, okay, let's let it lapse and let's see what happens. Let's see what projects don't get done. I mean, is that a double negative? You don't know something that didn't get done if it doesn't get announced because nobody ever does it. I think it's a tool in the toolbox. And the final point I would make is we don't live in an ideal world. In an ideal world, states wouldn't have to pay businesses to invest. But the reality is that there are states, rival states to Michigan, that will pay and do pay a lot. Now, is that the only reason that a business decides to invest? I think the answer is no. It has to do with labor availability and expertise and a whole lot of other, there's a long list of things. But it can be a major decider going forward. And I think that's really the thing people have to grapple with.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel House. Thanks, Daniel.
You bet.